Hi, this is Dr. Tom Rogers coming to you with a weekly podcast of the Common Sense MD. Happy New Year. It's 2024. Welcome to a new year. It's going to be exciting. I have a special guest here tonight. You may recognize him. He's my son, Andy.
No, you're not seeing double, ladies and gentlemen. I'm from a different generation and a different time.
I hope he can get serious today.
This is preventative medicine at its best right now. No, I'm actually really excited. I don't get to be on these podcasts very much. I'm really pumped to be here because I just came back from A4M, the longevity conference. It's the World Congress for Longevity out in Las Vegas. And Dad sent me there and sent our other provider, Fran. We had such a good time. So I'm very thankful that I got to go and thankful to share some updates.
I just wish Fran had not eaten that escargot.
She did. Fran ate some snails. Ladies and gentlemen, it was bad.
She paid the price. But anyway, what I want to do is set the tone for the new year. And we're going to talk a little bit about performance medicine, what we do, and how we're a little bit different. As you know, we're an integrated medical practice, functional medicine, which means we try to find the root cause of your problem. We kind of dig a little deeper and try to help you without just writing you a script and sending you out the door like most doctors tend to do, like I used to do. We have a lot of experience doing work with metabolic syndrome, obesity, hormone deprivation, but we also look at a lot of other stuff as well. As well as doing, primary care medicine.
Right, and we get to blend the both, which is great. There's room for the holistic natural approach, and there's room for the prescriptive newer science modalities. I think it's great that I like choice in medicine.
Right. Choice, and it's a patient's choice. All we're there for is to really to help you decide the best way to go. And you can't get too far out on traditional or alternative. You really have to be a blend and take the best of both, and I think that's what we're good at. So we like to see metabolic problems. We like to see things that you're not getting satisfaction with your physician. And maybe because you're tired and you don't know why, you've just been handed another prescription. But we're also looking into adjunctive treatments for cancer. That's probably going to be one of my major focuses this year is alternative things to do for cancer. Ever since I did the podcast with Dr. Bolton on the use of fenbendazole, it's just been crazy, the questions we get and the research and books I read about other things you can do as well as the traditional things. You need to do both, really. But so it's brought a lot of patients in to see us. In general, really, when you look at everything, whether it's diabetes, obesity, hormones, cancer, it really has a common pathway, and that's the metabolic pathway. Your genes do not determine what happens to you. Really, your lifestyle does. So whether you call it personalized medicine, functional medicine, anti-aging medicine, it all boils down to really metabolism. And that's what we try to look at and give you some good advice on. And there's so many tools that we have now. We've had so many success stories of, a lot of weight loss, a lot of hormone replacement. The other thing we dig into sometimes is the psychosocial aspect of what may be going on with you. If you saw last week's podcast with Jenny, you can relate to that. But in any event, Andy, welcome to another year with Performance Medicine. You've been with us now for 5 years.
5 years, and a lot has changed in 5 years.
That's right.
Came out of traditional schooling right into the integrative space.
Yeah,
well, it was a learning curve.
There's a lot to learn. It's not as easy as cookbook medicine, what I call. But
and learn and unlearn. That's the biggest thing is how to, and two, you had how many years in traditional medicine that you had to unlearn to now do this
stuff? Well, a lot of it I had to unlearn because, for example, nutrition, they taught us almost a completely wrong thing. And then when you and Kelly came down with type 1 diabetes, it kind of forced me to look at nutrition because I knew nothing about it. What I was taught was completely wrong.
Right.
What they're still teaching is wrong. So we look at that. And, I'm excited about the new year. Tell me a little bit about what you found. Just give me a general overlay of, since you trained and got out of training, mm-hmm. what you've learned and how you approach medicine a little bit differently than when you, what you were taught to do.
I do have to say, I had really good training. I loved the school I went to. I had a very rose-colored glasses experience. I had wonderful classmates, are still some of my best friends today. I felt like I got a lot of hands-on training. I went to Mercer PA School. It is a traditional PA graduate program. The PA program's taught under the medical model, so we are trained kind of like a physician without going into a residency and not having that extra year of med school. So I think a lot of what PA school was, because it was so quick, 2.5-3 years, is you're drinking from a fire hose. So a lot of it is, what is the diagnosis? What is the treatment? What are you going to use? What is signs, symptoms, diagnosis, therapeutics? Signs, symptoms, diagnosis, therapeutics. It's how do you get to the end and what are you going to treat them with? And then towards the end, it's, well, what can you use in order to get them there? And do you need an ultrasound before you get a mammogram? Because the mammograms aren't going to be covered if you don't get a lot of it became into what insurance is going to pay for too and how you bill. We had classes that I didn't actually pay attention to and how to bill because all of it was dealing with how you code. We had classes on how you code certain visits, which is applicable in every other situation but a cash pay model. So that's something that I didn't really utilize. But I just can't say enough about my experience at Mercer. What's different is that we have a lot of time in the room with patients to where we actually get to know them and look them in the eye, use paper and pen with good and bad handwriting to really get to the bottom of what a patient's experience is. So much of what I've learned too from being in performance medicine is that people have a story. I don't know that. And two, Dad told me the day I started practicing medicine, he said, the one thing you need to do if you do nothing else is listen to the patient. They're going to tell you exactly what's wrong with him and how to fix it. And that has been completely true, especially with our patient population. Because we're lucky, we get very motivated patients. I don't know about you, but people look up stuff all the time that I don't know, and I'll research them when we start using it. Yeah. We have smart people. So I feel like so much of it is people, you cannot live a patient's life, and you can recommend as much as you want, but if a patient comes to what they think their treatment modality is going to be, most of the time it's right.
Yep, you know, that's the same thing my dad taught me. You know, listen to the patient first. And certainly when you get into medicine, especially if you deal with some of the complex patients that we do, you know, it's not that simple, is it? It's not here's your lab test, here's what you need. Your cholesterol is 230, here's your Lipitor. You know, it definitely does not work out that way. It shouldn't work out that way. You know, unfortunately, if you're in a traditional medical model, you're penalized if you don't put that patient on a statin. So we totally are outside the traditional medical model as far as reimbursement goes. And what it plays out is we become better physicians and we have more time to listen to the patient and we dive into their lifestyle.
Oh, and people feel better. Yeah. People feel better. And that's something, too, I had experience in working in other fields prior to coming into performance medicine in the integrative space. But really, as a practitioner, I only know this of me actually putting something on paper, prescribing it, handing it to a patient, and them saying, you changed my life. And it's not really me. It's our model of medicine that changes it. And the patient being willing to come into us, especially pellets. I was having someone today tell me, this has changed my life more than anything they've ever tried in medicine. So we're very lucky that we get to do that. And we have the freedom to do that, which is amazing.
Most doctors have never heard of a hormone pellet.
Or low-dose naltrexone.
Methylene blue.
Methylene blue.
There's so many things you can do that is natural, that is very safe, that will really give you energy and help your whole life go better. You know, nothing beats good nutrition, exercise, sleep, handling stress. And there comes a point when you need to look at your hormones. I mean, because when they start declining, and we see a lot of baby boomers like me, when your hormones decline, you decline. So a lot of people are jaded or they've been misinformed about hormone replacement therapy. And so we really do a lot of education with that, and we have a lot of gratified patients. So if you haven't been in to see us, I urge you to get a Cleveland Heart panel. That's really where it all starts for us.
Right, and actually, Dr. Oz, who was our keynote speaker at this conference I went to, his big cardiac panel is Honor Cleveland. He brought up four different oxidized LDL, apolipoprotein B, lipoprotein little a, and homocysteine. The four most important ones from his cardiac panel all come on the Cleveland. Four very different things that are the most indicative of what cardiac disease is going to be. He did not mention LDL. He did not mention total cholesterol, which is what statins really target. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. If Dr. Oz is saying it, and our local Dr. Oz is saying it, but Cleveland Heart Panel is a great way to start, too.
Yeah, and we're not saying some people shouldn't be on statins. Some people should be. But, I think almost everybody should be on an aspirin a day. There's so many great effects with that. I don't know what Dr. Oz said about that, but, it also prevents cancer. Anything you do to protect your heart is going to also protect you against cancer and dementia. Dementia is one thing we work a lot with because we want to prevent it, and it is preventable in most cases. It's metabolism. Again, it has a lot to do with your gut. All these autoimmune diseases we see every day in our office, they usually start out with the gut, and we ask questions about their digestion. We run GI maps on them. And
how often do you get a patient saying, and you're like, hey, how's your gut health? And I'm like, well, how often do you go to the bathroom every day? Oh God, no. I'm like, how normally do you go to the bathroom? And they go, I've had patients say, oh, I go once a week, but that's normal for me. I'm like, that's not normal.
Almost probably
waste. That's your body getting rid of waste is urinating and going to the, and having a bowel movement every day. That's your body getting rid of waste.
And sweating as well.
And sweating.
That's even good. It's breathing.
Yes.
Puffing and puffing, exercising.
How often do you hear that? I hear that all the time. It's like, it's normal for me every other day, every 2 days. I'm like,
well, what I hear a lot of when somebody comes to me with an autoimmune disorder, I say, how's your gut doing? They usually say terrible.
Right. Yeah. You know? 9 times out of 10, yes, yeah. Terrible.
And so we start with the gut. We look at a lot of things. Of course, we treated a lot of COVID, and we treat a lot of long hauler syndrome right now. We have a lot of good tools to do that. And when, we've been using them for years, and then when you read in some of the journals that the Stanford Long Haul Clinic is using LDN, we're just going, thank goodness they know about it now, because we've been using it for how many years?
A long time.
Long, long time. Yeah. So there's exciting medicine. So tell me, I want to know some of the new stuff you've learned and some of the things that people may not know about. You can go through our archives and look at LDN, methylene blue. What did you take away from that conference besides you're practicing medicine the right way?
I will say it was really cool to be at that conference because you get to see people who are just like you. You're seeing a presentation where someone is practicing what they preach, which is huge because it makes you pay attention more. I'd say I think the most detailed and applicable was methylene blue, which we've talked a lot about before, so not necessarily new. But this one guy, Dr. Scott, went to unbelievable detail and has different dosings. So I think the dosings.
Was he from the University of Texas?
Maybe.
One of the gurus is from Texas.
I think so. But he talked about that wheel, like nitty gritty, how it actually works on the electron transport chain, how it creates more hydrogen peroxide, how it really doesn't have any negative side effects. He said he's never seen serotonin syndrome, even though he's used it with patients on MAOIs and on SSRIs. But the by mouth version versus the IV version. He said IV version, you may see that. But what he says too is that you can do low dose versus high dose. So low dose is going to be 0.5 milligrams per kilogram, upwards of 1 to 1.5 milligrams per kilogram. Why high dose is going to be 3 milligrams per kilogram. You can really crank up the heat for nasty infections, for COVID, to if you're looking at any sort of like Lyme disease or chronic illness, fibromyalgia. If you're looking at it more for longevity, preventative health, you're going to use lower doses. So his recommendations I took away, 8 to 16 milligrams a day. If you're looking at low dose, 8 to 16 milligrams per day. I believe our drops are 0.5 milligrams per drop. Is that right?
I think that might be one. I think you can get them
one
both.
Milligram.
I usually order the 1 milligram.
So if it's 0.5 or one, then you can note how many drops you're getting. So I just note that there's a lot more lenience for using it. And he said you can actually titrate to how blue the urine is. The bluer the urine, the more it's going through.
And he also said, like we tell people, please take vitamin C.
Vitamin C.
When you take it. And what else was there?
Light.
Light.
So think about what's in the beginning. Let there be light. I'm not, that makes, it sounds superfluous, but it's true. Light, if you're thinking about it from an evolutionary standpoint, the protozoa came to life with light. Light hit it and made the cell work. That's the same way with what happens with human beings. We have to get outside and have a light. So they recommend red light therapy actually works synergistically with methylene blue. It makes it work better. But getting outside, taking it with vitamin C actually works too. They're using it for ADD. They use that particular milligram, a little bit lower dose with L-theanine and caffeine.
Interesting. You know, they use it for dementia as well.
Dementia doses was 60 milligrams a day.
It's very energizing.
It's crazy.
It's very focusing.
And also, why not? Why would you not want to try that?
I don't know hardly anybody that shouldn't really take that stuff.
Pregnancy and breastfeeding. That's the only thing. And so they say, like, there was a thing about hypertension. It can increase norepinephrine, which is a good thing. But he said if that increases your hypertension, most hypertension's from inflammation. So mostly blood pressure goes down. Yep. That was one interesting thing. But you mentioned cancer. We're going to start really taking on more of these novel natural approaches, that not that we're against chemo radiation surgery. Those are the three modalities you're looking at. Chemotherapeutics, which is a type of killing it with poison, so killing it with chemicals, is chemo. Radiation is actually directing it where you're burning the actual cancerous cells. Surgery is where you cut it out. Those are the three main modalities that are you looking at from a traditional standpoint for cancers, which for some cancers absolutely work. Everything comes with risk benefit. When you're looking at it from a natural approach, you're not wanting to feed a cancer. And so when you're looking at not feeding a cancer or using natural modalities to get into the cancer cells and kill it, fenbendazole, a dewormer, is absolutely working, and they recommended that. Mistletoe, not just for kissing under the Christmas tree. Mistletoe is a huge treatment modality for cancer, and I have a book on it, which Dad's going to read, and then I'm going to tell you about later. He's going to give me the cliff notes. Yeah. Mistletoe, Nasha Winters, she's a naturopathic doctor, PhD. She wrote a book on it. We met her, and she wrote two books, one on the metabolic code for cancer as well that she co-wrote. They're big on ketogenic. They're big on ketogenic, clean ketogenic, which Lucas, our nutrition coach, is going to put together clean keto protocol for that. So they said MTHFR increases your risk for cancers.
No doubt.
MTHFRs do. And then to mistletoe is just another natural modality. She said in Europe, nearly 85% of patients that have cancer are on mistletoe.
That's really
interesting. So we're going to find out how to order that stuff too. You
really
want to use.
Interesting.
I have a friend who's going through stage 4 pancreatic cancer right now, a dear friend of mine at the theater. Her husband has cancer. And so a pretty aggressive form of pancreatic cancer, doing very well with chemo, and he's on turkey tail.
Yeah. I had a patient today on turkey tail.
Turkey tail's great. And he's doing incredible.
Yeah.
So that's another kind of natural modality, ketogenic.
And do the traditional as well. Sometimes it enables you to use a lower dose chemo.
Exactly.
And maybe to avoid radiation if you can. But there's a lot, it's kind of exciting to look into that, because, you know, all the advances we've made with heart disease, you know, cancer, we really haven't improved a whole lot in the last 50 years. Maybe a 5%, certainly with the solid tumors. I know with the blood cancers, they've really made, like leukemias, lymphomas, they made tremendous strides with. But for the solid tumors, it hadn't been that great.
No.
So I'm looking forward to that. What about anything? LDN? I'm sure they love LDN.
They love LDN. Everyone's on LDN. They talked a lot about, there were a lot of natural stuff, like exercise. There's nothing better for weight than movement. Dr. Oz also talked about, too, sometimes if you don't see weight loss, he says waist is a better indicator than weight. And it's your height divided by 2 inches for what your ideal waist size should be. So a lot of the times you see the central adiposity, patients describe to me all the time, I didn't lose any weight, you know, but I went down 2 pant sizes. That's a better indicator for your longevity and health than the actual weight.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have in-body scans to kind of help you, like, differentiate between adipose tissue and muscle tissue.
And visceral fat.
thing too that was big. So the three big speakers were Dr. Oz and the guy that did the Blue Zones. People talked about Blue Zones the entire time. Blue Zones, there's five or six zones within the world.
They're centenarians
or more. They he talked about what's most common among them. And he and Dr. Oz were very similar in the way they spoke, that you have to have fun. You have to have fun. Like, the whole thing about wine and being in community is, like, they're having fun. And he showed videos of all these people, this 105-year-old driving him down the street in an ATV. They were having fun. They did things for themselves. They walked everywhere. They were not, this is nutrition, I think, is so specific to the patient. They were 95% plant-based.
Yeah.
Every Blue Zone, 95% plant-based, mainly from beans, meat once a week, plenty of water, wine every day, or some sort of form of alcohol every day. It was usually a poorer diet, as meaning like a pauper's diet or a peasant's diet. Mm-hmm. These are very poor communities too. Some very poor communities. Mm-hmm. Too, there was one case that they read that a guy had stage 4 pancreatic cancer, and yet gave a couple months to live. So he wanted to go be buried back in Greece where the Blue Zone was. He just went back home because he thought, I might as well die there. And he beat his cancer. He outlived crazy. His doctors. That he went back to America to tell his doctors that he had beaten it, and they all died.
Is that crazy? Incredible. Yeah, our society over here is really, I think, screwed because of our lifestyles. I mean, you know, everybody over here works so hard, they retire, they lose their will to exercise, to live, they die.
So I
say never retire, always keep active, eat right, exercise, have fun.
Dr. Oz said that too. He said we should move the retirement age from 61 to 64. He said it actually increases the GDP if you do that.
I'll be 69. That's really, I'm going to never retire.
Can you believe this? 69. Yeah, I want to look like
64?
That at 64.
I don't think people should retire at 64.
He said common age is 61. If you increase it by at least 3 years, people think that the older the people are, the longer they age, the more that we have to pay for them. So he's like, if you encourage people to work longer, it actually increases the GDP. Yeah. So they need to working is good. There was a really great Buddhist that spoke. She was the other keynote speaker, Master Wang Sakan, I believe is her name. She said to simplify everything. It was amazing. That was the most informative to me because she was getting back to basics. If you do not find joy in your life, you'll die and you'll create problems for yourself. Your brain and your psyche, the mind-body-spirit connection is very important. And so often I hear people talk about, it's like, I'm stressed, I can't sleep. Of course I'm stressed, but I'm supposed to be stressed. I don't take off less from work. And they have zero joy, but it's like they're in pain and people want the easy way out. A lot of the real stuff, and even with cancer treatments too, they're talking about is like how you just go out, connect to the ground, take your shoes off, de-stress. It sounds really frou-frou and dumb, but it's real. Even structuring your water, talking kindly to yourself. Have you ever heard of structuring your water? I've never heard of that.
I've heard about it last week. I didn't know what it was.
Me neither. You're supposed to put water out in light, or talk kindly to it. If you talk positively to water, you structure it so actually the molecules, the H2O, actually bonds better, and it's a better water for you. I thought she was fantastic. That if you put loving kindness energy out there, you can actually heal. And I personally believe in that.
I believe it too. What about, did they talk about obesity, use of semaglutide, tirzepatide?
They did. Yep. They mainly talked about semaglutide. You call it semiglutide? I've always said semaglutide.
Well, yeah, I do. I'm from East Tennessee.
Semiglutide? Yeah. Phentermine? That phentermine, semiglutide. Well, okay. Semaglutide, the molecule that makes up Ozempic and Wegovy. They did talk about, because it has cardiac indication, the molecule tirzepatide, Mounjaro, Zepbound, that is in works for getting a cardiac indication. Mm-hmm. Dr. Oz, huge fan of it. Yeah. Huge fan of it. It decreases blood pressure. He said the ideal blood pressure is 115 over 75. Mm-hmm. He did.
I mean, it has been a game changer in our practice for sure. We finally have a tool that we can help people overcome insulin resistance, because it's really, life is not fair. People mm-hmm. that are obese need lifetime treatment. It's a disease just like diabetes or heart disease. Mm-hmm. It's an actual metabolic disease. And because of those two drugs that came out, everybody that knows anything now knows that obesity is a metabolism problem. It's not of insulin resistance. It's not laziness or gluttony or anything like that. There's even brain regions involved in obesity.
You know, the 42% is obese, not overweight. 42% of America's obese category, BMI over 30, not overweight. The average size for a female right now is 5'4", 170.
Wow.
That's the average.
Back in 1960, it was the average female weighed 115 pounds.
So. That, it's remarkable what is happening. And I think a lot of it is that we're worried about the shaming process of it. And I don't think there should be any shame in that. What we're doing is we are shaming people to saying it's their fault that it's that way. And now we're normalizing it. When really too, it's become a new normal, but I don't think it should be. There are definitely that people need to be smaller. Intermittent fasting was big. Everybody was into the intermittent fasting, more into keto, more into plant-based for the blue zones. Mm-hmm. They talked about too.
I think a lot of that's because people that eat meat are not eating pastured, grass-fed.
That's true.
You know, I think a lot of it's the quality of the meat. I'm not against meat for sure.
I'm not either. It's low carb.
So I think a lot of it's that.
Taurine was big. Dr. Rosenberg talked about taurine.
That's a new longevity supplement.
Man.
I actually put it in our energy formula.
I told you the doses for that too. Yeah, it's like as some of the doses, like you can really crank up the heat on dosing. He's never felt better on taurine. There's even a study going on at Stanford right now. Sometimes they kind of talked about growth hormone a lot, and they didn't. I talked about peptides more with the exhibitor booth. When you go to these conferences, they have the lecture series and exhibitor booths, and the exhibitor booths are all the pharmacies and new modalities, red light therapy, things that you can try out, which were fun. I tried out a lot of frequency things with your brain that made you like contemplate things. It's really cool. Some of these things talking about taurine, and then what was I just saying?
You were just talking about the different things you had, the exhibitors, peptides, maybe growth hormone.
Oh, growth hormone. There's a study going on at Stanford right now that's pretty controversial, that they're using metformin with growth hormone in older patients because growth hormone will increase your cortisol and glucagon and pop your sugar up.
Yep.
And so they're putting metformin on with them to tamper that response.
Well, they give them growth hormone for aging?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting, too. They talked a lot about injecting hormone or growth hormone. Too, he talked a lot about the pineal gland and the thymus.
So he was melatonin.
He talked a lot about melatonin exogenous use. He said, really, with melatonin, you're getting an anti-inflammatory response. The real melatonin needs to be close to the CSF, and the pineal gland's right there. So exogenous is just going more to the distributor tissue, not the real thing.
So you're talking about nasal sprays or what?
No, he's saying like your actual melatonin is better than exogenous.
Okay.
But you're still getting an anti-inflammatory effect from it. Yeah. He was big on taurine. Taurine, I think, is interesting for energy longevity. One guy was big on spermidine.
Mm-hmm.
Spermidine for longevity.
Yeah.
They all said any of the antioxidants are really great. CoQ10, quercetin, vitamin C. They're big on NAC. NAC was a big one in high doses.
Yeah.
And then two, I went to two different lectures on environmental exposures. That was kind of doomsday talk, but interesting. The average liter of the average water bottle, regular water bottle that you drink out of, plastic, Nestle, whatever, 325 pieces of plastic in the water that you drink. We are full of phthalates and neuroendocrine disruptors. And you'll notice too that younger men have lower and lower T.
Oh, yeah.
And the demasculinization of men, and two, the masculinization of women with PCOS. Well, not that PCOS is masculinization, it's higher testosterone, lower fertility with PCOS,
insulin resistance, more obesity.
A lot of it, too, is they're saying it's from our environmental exposures. Way more likely to have hypertension if you live near a busy road. And to have infertility if you live near a busy road.
That is really interesting.
The amount of toxins that we have and the neuroendocrine disruptors is insanity. And two, a lot of it is how do we get back to natural, choosing glass over plastics.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you still drink out of the same plastic water bottle because you want to recycle and reuse that water bottle, you are...
It's crazy.
There's also BPA, but there's BPB, BPC, BPD. He's like, we're only getting rid of, yeah, it's like, it's just, or they're all just these plastics that, like, the neuroendocrine disruptors from the toxins that we were ingesting and being around. It was just amazing.
I think that's why a lot of people have brain fog all the time.
God, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. I went to a lecture on acromantia. That was a good one.
Really?
Acromantia is a bacteria for your gut that's supposed to be a kill-all. And wow. I talked to Robin about this. Robin is our gut expert in West Knoxville. Acromantia, you're supposed to have an appropriate amount in your gut, but a lot of people do not. Butyrate, which we are big on butyrate, you just said one on butyrate, is a part of the acromantia process, feeds acromantia, I believe.
Yep.
And that contributes to GLP-1. It's all part of the microbiome in that.
I take butyrate, sodium butyrate. Yeah.
So too, you're probably increasing your acromantia with that. They were big on acromantia, and too, they were big on omega-3s. Omega-3s have had a lot of controversy about whether you're getting a lot of mercury levels in them with the type of fish that you're getting it from. They say if you're feeding fish every day, then you just need to do 1,000 milligrams of omega-3 supplementally and not 2,000 milligrams. He said you can't eat enough fish.
That's interesting. Yeah,
and you need it from fish, not from plants.
Yeah.
He liked the liquid version. I asked him, Barlean's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, he said Barlean's
tastes, is good. Actually tastes pretty good.
Yeah. Omega-3s were amazing. Yeah,
you know, we check your levels in a Cleveland. We see exactly where you are.
We talked a lot about estrogen. There was even a lecture, too, about hormone replacement therapy and cancers, which we talk a lot about in the room, what you can and can't use. This particular presenter says you can use both progesterone and estrogen even with having estrogen and progesterone receptor positive cancers that have cleared.
That's very interesting. You have to have some guts to do that.
She says she is not scared at all. She says it is insane that we've been scared to do that.
That's interesting. Usually I use testosterone. Right. In that case, but
that's one presenter. What we learned too, Fran and I, from this, and I'm sure you've been from that, everybody has different opinions, but estrogen was a big topic. Estrogen, that we're scared of estrogen and we shouldn't be, and we should put it in higher doses.
Interesting, especially the safe forms of estrogen. There's estradiol. Different types.
Yep, estradiol, main
estriol
form.
You know, not estrone, but I mean, the stuff about the hormones is really complex. Unfortunately, they don't teach it much. You have to go get the information. Nope. But it's very interesting and very helpful to people. But
I think the big thing, getting back to basics. If you're thinking about when you felt your best, think about a time when you felt your best, that age, that moment, what you were doing. You're most likely younger when your hormones were well and you were having fun.
Yeah, and when you didn't have any responsibility. Maybe when you're 10 years old.
No, my best. When dad was taking care of
everything. Mom and dad take care of everything.
No, I will tell you, when I was in England, I was eating well. I was out in nature every day. I was in a museum every day. I was learning. I was active. I walked everywhere. I was on a train everywhere. I drank every day. I've never felt better. My blood sugars were never better, and I was never more satisfied. Having fun in community, out in nature. And I never slept better. And two, did you know Leonardo da Vinci slept 2 hours a night and napped throughout the day?
He did?
Yes. Yes. So this whole thing is like, and that's one of he is the Renaissance man. He's one of our geniuses. So much of it. There's even, we talked to Dr. Patty, who treated Fran's mother's metastatic breast cancer. She's from Orlando. She happened to have an exhibit there, which was, she was amazing. Oh. She was very, very much about depression, anxiety, being gut related, and to getting back to the basics of disconnecting. I have 50 unread text messages right now. Like, do those really need to be answered?
Yeah, you got to unplug sometimes.
You have to unplug. How often are we watching TV, just having it on as background noise? Yeah. It means something too, even how you speak to yourself, how you speak to your kids, how you speak to your dog, your plants. That loving kindness energy goes a long way.
It does. So for 2024, we're going to think about simplifying. We're going to think about getting some baseline tests to see where we're at, measurements. The numbers don't lie. So get an in-body scan, get a Cleveland panel just to see where you're at.
Uh-huh.
Again, symptoms, listen to your body. What kind of symptoms do you have?
Do you know what's a good kicker for all this? This puts it all together. Dr. Oz and Jordan Peterson, their joint statement together is the biggest gift you can give to yourself is to tell yourself the truth.
That's a really good statement.
Tell yourself the truth. He says, if you can do that, your life will change.
I love it. As you get older, you get more like that. And also, as a doctor, I'm more likely to tell somebody the truth. I don't like to hide it. I like yes. to just come out with it, and you know, and it's always better. But anyway, Andy, I'm glad you went this to the conference. Great. It's great practicing medicine with you. And
me too.
You
know, feel lucky.
We have that unique practice, and we certainly love all our patients. We're so grateful that when I hung out my own shingle and got away from traditional medicine 18 years ago, I never dreamed it would come to a practice like it is now with, you know, with close to 50 employees, nine providers, PAs and
yeah,
nurse practitioners. And, you know, it's just grown because people really need this kind of medicine. You know, we're a little different. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, you know, I think we help people a lot, and that's why we're here.
And two, I think providers and staff, they need this type of medicine too. How many people get burnt out? How many providers, I mean, go to the point of depression and anxiety of committing suicide? That's a thing. And so we're very lucky that we get to, we're in a service industry, but so much of that light that we give out, we also get back from patients. So if we're doing gratitude, I'm very thankful for where we work and who we work for you creating this type of environment to be in with us, but also for our patients. What Dad has told me from day one, he's like, you'll never have patients like this. That's true.
Yeah. You'll never have a better job. You'll have a challenging job, but it's just so gratifying. And you're researching stuff all the time. I mean, look at all the books and articles and deep research we do just to learn how to live a better life. And it correlates with everything. But anyway, Andy, thank you so much for being a part of our team. And I hope everybody has a good 2024. Any questions, please don't hesitate to email us or come see us at Performance Medicine.
And we'll put Dad's cell phone number, personal cell phone number, and email right here so you can just contact him directly.
24 hours, right?
24 hours a day on call.
We'll see you next week.